We're looking forward now to Brother Joseph Panucci's service, and he's from the Groton, Connecticut Ecclesia. And his talk is entitled, His Loving Care. His Loving Care. Brother Joe.
Thank you, Mark, and Brother Austin for that beautiful prayer. Lucy and I, we are delighted to be with all of you in this beautiful convention. We enjoy the fellowship immensely. And we also appreciated the wonderful preparation made by the committee of this convention. I believe that most of the wives of the speakers always give their husband a little advice before a discourse. The advice that my wife gave me this afternoon, she said, when you see the speaker, when you see the chairman come on the platform, you stop speaking. His loving care. What a beautiful expression, my dear brethren. The Bible reveals that the Heavenly Father is perfect in love, justice, wisdom, and power, and faithful to all of His promises made to His people, those who have made a covenant with Him by sacrifice, to do His will. Among the many important promises made to His people, one which is very precious is recorded in the book of 1 Peter 5:7. Let us read it. It says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And the modern language says, throw all your anxiety upon Him, for His concern is about you. We know that no one has seen God at any time. No one can see God live. The splendor of God is beyond our imaginations. For instance, you try to look at the sun for 10 minutes. Don't try. You can go blind. We do not know His appearance, what He looked like. But His loving character is revealed to us through the Bible and Jesus. And we know that many are the promise of our Heavenly Father related to His people who have dedicated their lives to do His will. The prophet Isaiah beautifully expressed His loving care of our Heavenly Father towards His people. It is so intimate that he said, I will not forget thee. Behold, I have engraven thee upon the palm of my hands. What a powerful promise this is. to have our lives graven upon the hands of Creator Universe, and to comprehend more fully the care of Heavenly Father, the Bible uses symbolical language such as his eyes, his ears, and the arms of God. We as a human are able to see with our eyes and be aware of what's taking place within the range of our sight. So the Creator Universe knows every move we make, every place we go, everything we say, because we are always within the range of his vision. How could it be possible that the Creator of the universe be so concerned with our individual lives? But this is the reality of the truth. Just think for a moment about the wonderful promise he made to us when he said, I will never leave nor forsake you, us. This we will continue to believe and trust. There are many examples in the Bible for us to try to imitate, but one which outstanding is the life of Moses. The life of Moses is a living example for us as the way the Lord's care operates in the lives of his people. When Moses was on the mount, he was told to stand upon the rock while the glory of the Lord passed by. The Lord told Moses that he would put him in the cleft of the rock and cover him with his hands. This is also true of the antitypical Moses, the Lord's people. They also stand upon the rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. And it was a Jesus who said, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. For a moment, consider the past experience of the Jewish people from Babylon to the Romans, and then in our times in Germany, any nation that tried to exterminate these people, God's people, they all end up in destruction. These people never lost their identity. If then they as a servant were protected by the mighty hand of God, we as a sons of God expect less protection by Heavenly Father? No. But in order to benefit from the Lord's care, there are some conditions which we must keep in mind. First of all, a full submission to his will and provision. This will mean that we firmly believe his word of truth, which tell us that all things work together for good for them that love God. A firm confidence in God's desire and willingness to guide us. Patience and endurance. And have a confidence that always He will guide us for the best of our spiritual good. God's care for His people has been manifested in many ways through the Holy Spirit, by the protection of the angels, through the word of truth, and by our association with His people. We are all in need, my dear brethren, especially when we go through some unpleasant experiences. Oh yes, when everything goes well, we mind to incline to overlook the God's need and care. But we always are in need of His protections and care. And never, never fail to seek the throne of a Heavenly Father in every time of need. You hear the theory that once in grace is always in grace. This theory was rejected by the Apostle Paul. This he expressed it in 1 Corinthians 12:10-13, when he said, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." They had no temptation taken you, but such as he common to men, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. And no one know better than Paul that the force of evil are striving continually to draw aside the Christian from the pathway faithfully to the Lord and from the covenant sacrifice made with Him. We all know that the three principal enemies of the Christian, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And with your permission, I would like to call the devil the commander-in-chief of these three dangerous unions. Therefore, we must be alert and seek the Lord's help so we do not fall into temptation, which will lead us away from the course of fidelity to the Lord. God's authority must be supreme in our lives if we want to enjoy His care and peace, which He gives, not the world. He will not share your devotion with another. He never sleeps. He stands ready to help us in every time of need. The strength of the Lord operates in our lives only when we recognize the inability of all human sources and learn to lean fully upon Him. In many respects, we live in a dangerous world. We all know that. It is like a wilderness journey. You remember during the typical journey of Israel out in the wilderness, daily manna was provided for them by God, because without their provision, they were starving to death. the care of Heavenly Father for them beautifully foreshadow God's provision for His people through Christ and through the precious truth. And religiously speaking, most of the religions in the world are starving to death. They have nothing to offer to the church members. Thank God that we have the truth. We have a message of a hope, my dear brethren. In 60 years in the truth, my dear brethren, I never came across one individual religion that has any hope, that has any truth, that has any comfort for the people. We have a wonderful message, my dear brethren, a message of a hope. We have the truth, my dear brethren. The truth will never change. What has been truth 50 years ago, 1,000 years ago, is truth today. And thank God that we have the truth. For the Israelites to survive, they had to gather the manna each day and feed upon. It is equally important that we too feed upon the word of truth, not once a week, not once a month, every day until the end of our journey. And since the hidden manna which was placed in the Ark of the Covenant, the Most Holy, in the tabernacle, it did not decay. It seemed to foreshadow the divine nature which God will give to the overcomers of the gospel age, and their offers have given unto us, my dear brethren. However, for one to receive divine nature as a given to Jesus, it requires a special qualification. They must be tested to the highest degree. And what an honor it is to be on the highest place of existence, eternal life, such that we'll never die. Thank God for Lucifer, was not given the divine nature or be immortal. As it had been said, God would violate His own law if He created one on such high place without previously crystallizing His character in righteousness by severe testing. And the Bible indicates that the most glorious being ever created was our Lord Jesus Christ. In His pre-human existence, the Apostle Paul speaks of Him as the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. And the greatest act of love and generosity, may I use that expression, toward the human creation was demonstrated by God in the gift of His most precious possession, His beloved Son. Yes, my dear brethren, He was severely tested in the evil world. The Apostle Paul stated, though He were a son, yet He learned obedience by the thing which He suffered. Jesus was obedient before He came to the earth, and He was obedient during His earthly ministry. Obedient to righteousness crystallized character. the account of the devil tempting Jesus in the wilderness illustrates how he always sought to be obedient to his Father's will. He was tempted along the same line that we are, which is the world, the flesh, and the devil. We know the Lord is faithful to every promise which he made, but to be raised to divine nature, there must be a complete crystallization of a character in righteousness, an attitude of a heart loyal to God. In the Apostle Paul, in the book of Romans 8:28, beautifully emphasized the Lord's care for his people by saying to them who are the cause according to his purpose. This indicates that this class, the cause, which is to be his family, is drawn by the Heavenly Father himself. Because no one can come into the knowledge of the truth unless the Lord touch their heart. Oh, my dear friends, I have a family, and with the exception of me and my Father, with the honor and the truth. If I had on my way, I think I would have the 10th generation of the Panucci in the truth. But the Lord doesn't work that way, my dear brethren. He is the one that touched the heart of the individual. And Jesus made it very clear when he said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. And from the book of Psalm 64:4 we read, blessed is the man who thou chosest and caused to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy court. Our Heavenly Father will carefully select each experience which will be confronted with it. He will be chosen with the divine wisdom to suit our particular individual need, and we shall accept it as a cup from the Father. The full acceptance of the cup concerning God's overruling providence means that we shall not become bitter, nor tend to complain about our difficulties in life, but let us, with a smiling face, say what the psalmist says, 17:15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I wake with thy likeness. What a beautiful expression. Yes, the Lord has been very gracious to us in many ways. His care has been for us more than we deserve. But we must keep in mind, my dear brethren, that truth brings responsibility. Truth brings responsibility. When the Lord opens some door for us, it is our responsibility, it is our privilege to share the truth with the one that he touched their heart. If in the past the Lord has used a servant to help us to have a clear understanding of the truth, that privilege, that responsibility is yours and it is mine. When God commissioned Moses to go to Egypt and demanded the deliverance of Israelites from the bondage of Pharaoh, at first he refused because he realized his own weakness for the task at hand. But the Lord in return gave Moses a very, very important object to strengthen his faith. He was a rod which he already possessed. We may say that he was the rod of a miracle. This illustrated beautifully. It is a beautiful lesson for us. God's dealing with us, with His people. All of us have a rod in our hands, a talent. And whatever talent that we have, that we possess, the Lord wants us to use that talent for His honor and glory. And not only He blesses us, but also have His authorizations. We know that very seldom it is necessary for the servant of the Lord to wait until God puts something special in his hands to use before he can serve Him. Just as the Lord asked Moses when he said, "What is that in thy hands?" And so he wants us to note what we already possess, which can be used in our labor of love for Him and for His people. Having thus then responded to the voice of God, Moses then had to learn the responsibility and sacred missions that he now occupied. Then the Lord said unto him, "Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where standeth is holy ground." This is also true today with the God's people. The truth which was revealed to us is holy and sacred. If we have responded into it in the spirit of a full consecration, it means that entire life is now completely devoted to the truth and to help the Lord's people. Of all the great men of God, Moses was on top of the list as an example of meekness and devotion. He recognized his own unworthiness for the mission that he was asked to do. This attitude caused him to lean more fully on the Lord. It is only in the strength of the Lord that anyone or his servant are able to serve faithfully and be an example to others. To Moses the Lord said, "Certainly I will be with thee." And this promise applies equal to us. Another promise made by the Lord is, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." What a powerful words these are. "No, never forget. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." The Lord's question to Moses was, "What is that in thy hands?" Seemed to suggest the thought that the Lord expects us to use whatever we possess. Could it be a time? Could it be a talent? Or other means to carry out the commission He has entrusted unto you and unto me? It is a good idea, my dear brother, that each one of us today ask ourselves the same question as, what do we have in our hands that could be used in the service of the Lord? And it may surprise you, my dear brethren, to realize how many talent you have, and they are dormant. Don't let them stay dormant. Use it. And sometime a little opportunity of a service are overlooked as we are waiting for the Lord to put some more important, more great in our hands. It seemed that Moses wanted God to send someone else to deliver Israelite from the bondage. Oh, he was trying to find an excuse. We too sometimes feel the same way, my dear brethren. shifting the responsibility unto others. You can do it. You can do it. Is this a good philosophy? I think not. The reality that God graciously has given us the truth means that He expects us to use the truth. Truth brings responsibility. First, to develop our own Christian character, also helping our brethren to do the same, then promulgate the message of the truth. This is our responsibility, my dear brethren. It's not enough to say that we believe the truth. Anybody can say we have the truth, we believe the truth. But let me emphasize it very strongly. But we also must serve the truth. God spoke to Moses, and further on his life was completely dedicated to his God. And so he has been with all the truly faithful servants of God to whom God has spoken. You remember when Saul of Tarsus inquired, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Let us give the same answer to the Lord. Lord, what you want me to do? When Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go into Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Was not this the attitude of some of us when the invitation was extended to us to become sons of God? What an honor to be used by the Lord in bringing the world out of bondage during the millennial age. I always say, my dear friends, if you expect rocking chairs in the kingdom, you are making a mistake. There is no rocking chairs in the kingdom. It is your responsibility, my dear brethren, to bring the thousands of people out of the bondage of slavery in harmony with God. And what an honor this is for us, my dear friend. But you must be prepared now during the gospel age to qualify for the great position which God will entrust to you in the blessed kingdom. It is an interesting point related to us in the book of Exodus 4:20. It reads, "And Moses took his wife and his son, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses," listen to this, "and Moses took the rod of God in his hands." He took the rod of God in his hands. But why? He was the rod of God now, not his rod. When we symbolize our consecration, whatever we had, great or small, it belonged to the Lord. Moses used the rod as he was directed by God. Yes, he followed the direction of God when he used the rod. We also, as steward, are to use our time and talent all as God directed us to use. And since the Lord's care for us has been a great help, encouragement, and blessing, what can we do to be of a blessing to our brethren? What do we have in our hands, my dear brethren? Sometimes a simple pen in the hands of a brother or sister will bring encouragement and blessing to someone of the Lord's people. A message of love will be a comfort to the dear ones they have some physical problem. Look on the back by the entrance. In many of our conventions, especially the general convention, you see our beloved sister, sometime a brother, writing a message of love and comfort to those who are isolated, to the brother who are isolated. And what a comfort those letters will bring, my dear brethren. Yes, you have a pen in your hands. You have a rod in your hand. Use it. Use it. Don't find an excuse. There is no excuse. You have the truth. You have a rod in your hand. Use it, my dear brethren. It is your responsibility. May we appreciate the love and care of our Heavenly Father every day. And may the Spirit of love become manifest in thoughts, in words, action towards our Heavenly Father, our dear Master, and towards our brethren. I see that I mean it. Our chairman is here. I got to be careful now. Follow my wife's advice. For conclusion, my dear brethren, I have something beautiful that I want to read for you. You all are familiar with it. It's entitled Footprints in the Sand. Footprints in the Sand. One night I had a dream. I dreamed that I was walking along the beach with the Lord. And across the sky, scenes from my life flashed before me. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to me, the other to the Lord. When the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprint in the sand. I noted that many times along the path of my life, there was only one set of footprint in the sand. I also noticed that it happened on the lowest and saddest time of my life. I questioned the Lord about it. Lord, I said, you said that once I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome time of my life, there is only one set of footprint. I don't understand why. In time when I need you the most, you left me. The Lord, in a gentle voice, reply, I will never leave you during your time of trouble and trials and suffering. When you saw only one set of a footprint, it was then that I carry you. our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, in the spirit of humility, we come to thy presence to thank you, Father, for the many blessings which graciously always bless us. We thank you, Father, for their loving care, for Jesus who died on the Calvary cross for us and for all, for the truth which is precious to our heart, for the brethren, and for this convention. May the spirit of a consecration, Father, help us to understand our responsibility for the truth which thou hast revealed to us, and the privilege which thou hast extended to us to share the precious truth with others. We do realize, Father, we live in the world of violence, turmoils everywhere, and Father, we pray with our hearts for thy kingdom, a realization, this the only hope. Father, we pray for each heart present in this convention, bless them, and we pray for thy people the world over, especially those in need of thy care, in love and protection. Above all, Father, we pray for the blessing upon these dear ones, symbolize thy consecration today. Be with them, Father. Fill their hearts with the Holy Spirit and watch over them. May thy loving care be with them continuously. Father, we pray for the blessing upon the rest of this convention. His favors and blessings, we ask, not because we have any merits, but we ask them in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.